The book of Acts, chapter 1, we continue our study. This morning we speak of the church united. You know, before the church can do what God has called her to do, there has to be a unification, a fellowship in the church that even Satan himself cannot break that fellowship and that unity. And so that's what we're going to talk about today from Acts chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 1, we begin in verse 12. It says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount of, called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James." And here's where we're going to focus today. "All those men, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you because you are God. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now we pray as we examine your word, I pray, Lord, that you will open your word to us, open our hearts, give us ears that hear and eyes that see, that, Father, we may glorify you as your church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. It's one of my favorite sections of this entire book because it sets the stage for everything that's going to take place after this. And the final instructions that Jesus had given his apostles just before he ascended, he told them, "You are to wait for the promise. Stay in Jerusalem." He told them they're going to be witnesses, but he says, "Right now you wait. You stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise." And we know that promise to be the power of the Holy Spirit that would indwell these men. It takes place in Acts chapter 2. And because of that indwelling power that came upon them, 3,000 souls were added to the church. It weren't because they were such great men. It was the power of God working in those men. And so they're told at this point, wait. That's a hard thing, isn't it? When you know what you're supposed to do, but no, not yet. Wait. That's what these guys are told. And do you ever think about it? Jesus could have immediately given them the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. When he ascended, he could have said, "Here you go, boys. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. Now I'm gone." And they could have watched him ascend into heaven, but he didn't do that. Why did he say, wait? Do you ever think about that? Why did he say wait? Because waiting's good sometimes. And in this case, it was good for the disciples and the 120 believers that would be with them there in the upper room. Because there are two things that needed to happen that are very important to these guys at this point. Number one, they had to be united in purpose. They all had to be on the same page, same mission. Now, these are very different guys, but they're all going to use their different abilities and talents for the same purpose. That is to make disciples. Right? Number two, they had to be united with God. Specifically united with God in prayer. Right? So let's start with number one, united in purpose. You see, that waiting time, it gave them a period whereas they could become that one body. Because they are going to be the body of Christ operating on this earth. It says they continued in one accord. That word continued in verse 14, it means to keep close company with. All the guys were there. That's the point. When it says they all continued, it's everybody's there. It's believers spending time together and meeting together and coming to that point of oneness in purpose. Oh, there's something special about God's people as they meet. I want to tell you, I love you. I love you. Thank you. I was wanting somebody to say that. The fleshly side, I guess. But I cannot express to you what it means to me to worship with you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It is such a... nothing in this world replaces what worship with God's family does. Right? We come here as with one another and we're encouraged. And just to put it bluntly, we enjoy one another. Amen? I'm glad to be here. And the fellowship and the interaction and the, you know, you talk to me and I talk to them and it's just a blessing to be a part of the church. And what I want you to get is this. We start with this one statement. We need each other. And I don't use that word need loosely. I need you. You need me. And I don't say that, it's not an ego thing there, okay? We need the church staff. Come on, you don't realize yet. I'll never get off this need thing if y'all don't come on with some amens, okay? We need Brother Kelly, our college minister. We need our college students. We need Brother Michael, our family minister. Brother Ken, our seniors minister. We need Brother Dale, our music minister. We need Celeste and Ruby, our secretaries. We need Josh, our youth man. We need everybody in this church. You see, when you do what I do, or when you do what you do, and I do what I do, and they do what they do, it is we become the body of Christ carrying out God's mission on this earth. I want you to understand whether we're talking deacons, church staff, or church secretary, building committee, mission committee, security team, finance team, choir, musician, we need everybody. Amen is where we say, amen. Come on. And God has given us one another so that we can join together in purpose and do what He's placed us in Russellville, Arkansas to do. Okay? We're one body. And this one body has one purpose. It says that they all continued in one accord. That word accord, or one, it's one Greek word, it's two English words, one accord. It means to be of one mind. They're all on the same page. And you know what that page was? That page was to make disciples. That was their common purpose. That they are going to be witnesses. Why are they going to witness? Because that's what God has called them to do. But even deeper, to carry out the great commission of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. When He tells them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is not an information thing. You know, this is not, let's put out a notice and get the information out there. No, these guys are out there talking about Jesus. They're preaching Jesus so that they can make disciples and grow the kingdom of God. That's their point. That was their mission. That's our mission. Okay? I want you to think about it. Just stop. And I know you've heard this time and time again, and I've said it time and again. But listen to me this time. Our mission is to make disciples. Right? It's not to be church people. It's not to meet once a week. It's not to build buildings. It's not to do all these other things. It's to make disciples. Now, we do a lot of other things, and we'll get to that in a minute. But that has to be the focus, our center focus of why we exist. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He said, go, therefore. It's actually as you go. where you are. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Make disciples. That all can be compacted down to two words. Make disciples. Now, a disciple is a student. The idea of discipleship is that you grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. I hope you're still growing. I do. It don't matter how old you are, you still need to grow. Right? That's the idea of discipleship. I do fear that sometimes we get so busy, we lose sight of our purpose. And by busy, I mean busy serving. You know, the building program. Did y'all see the offering, the building fund offering? Let me take just a moment and say, I praise God for your generosity. I don't remember exactly what it was, but the building fund offering last week was somewhere in the neighborhood of $54,000 or just north of $54,000 for one offering. Praise God! Come on. Praise God! Y'all did good. Y'all were generous and you gave. Glory to God. That's a great start. But you know what? I want you to understand that's more than just about building pretty buildings. It's about why we build the pretty buildings. So that we can make disciples. So that we can have Sunday school classes in those buildings. So that we can have fellowship, church fellowships in that building, promoting the fellowship and the unity in among the brethren. You see, it's not just about building a building. Music. Sometimes I fear that music just becomes about what type of music I like. You know, there are people who come to Victory and they've said, well, I like more contemporary. While there are some people who come to Victory, well, I like more of the old stuff. Number one, I love you, but I don't really care what you like. That was smart aleck, wasn't it? Beth said amen. I'm sorry, I apologize. But you know what? It's not about the music. It's not. It's about making disciples. It's about how can we do this music to promote the discipleship and the spiritual growth of you, everyone in that choir, everyone on the of the musicians, everyone. That's why we do what we do. You say, well, yeah, Brother Doug, but we do it to glorify God. Yeah, okay. How are you going to glorify God? By growing people. That's it. That's our purpose. And that's what I ask you to adopt today. You know, that our purpose is about growing you. And about growing me. And you and I becoming stronger and stronger so that we can do battle with the devil. Because, beloved, he is out there. He is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And he wants you. It's about making disciples in everything. Whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or doing the security team, it's all about making disciples. And I ask you, all right? As a church, will you join me and make this our central focus of growing people, making disciples? Say amen? Amen. Or no? Good. Now we have direction. Now we have direction. It's required that we have unity and we have direction. Because there is a danger. You see, there's a danger in division. And we cannot afford to be divided in either of those areas. Jesus gave a serious warning about church division, or about division, period. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about a church or we're talking about Satan himself. Division destroys. In Luke chapter 11, verse 17, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what? Desolation. And the house divided against a house falls. Literally it says, a house divided against itself falls. You want to know what kills churches? Division kills churches. People who are not on the same page. People who who want to stir up division. Listen, I want to give you a quick church lesson. Right? Most of you have been in church forever. You know what I'm about to tell you. But we're going to go over it again. You will not agree with everyone about everything in your church. Put me with any single individual in here, and I promise you within 5 minutes I can find something we disagree about. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's just, that's life. And it's not do I agree with everybody on everything, or you have to agree with me on everything. But it's what I do when I don't necessarily agree with you on something. What am I going to do when I disagree with you? Am I going to go out and slander you and run to the church staff and say, y'all know what they said? Do you know? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to love you. Why? Because you have imperfections. And because I know I have imperfections. And I realize something. The older I become, it's really hard for me to swallow, but I figured out I don't know everything. Have you figured that out? About yourself. You probably figured it out about me already. See, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And so we need to be loved in spite of those imperfections. Right? So that's the first lesson. Second thing is, you will not like every decision the church makes. The church may decide to put in blue carpet, and you like the Baptist red carpet. What do? You just, whatever the church decides, you get behind it and say, glory to God, we're going to put in that carpet. But Brother Doug, I don't like red carpet. It don't matter. First of all, carpet doesn't really matter. Okay? Amen? See, we get caught up on the little things that don't amount to anything, and especially don't make disciples. So, no. Churches are going to do things that you don't necessarily agree with. What are you going to do? Love your church. Don't go out after a business meeting and say, oh, I can't believe the church did that. I can't believe they're putting in those curtains or that carpet. Oh, I can. Hush. Hush. Love your church. See, I've got an interesting thought. And I really don't mean, I do not mean to sound like a smart aleck. But if you can't love your church, you need to find one you can love. Okay, and please accept that from the heart it was given. Right? I'm not trying to run anybody off. But you got to love your church. Because if you can't love the people at your church, you're not going to serve the Lord. And you're not going to make disciples. This one's hard to swallow. You're not going to like everything the pastor does. Once again, I figured out I don't know everything, even as a pastor. But here's what I do know. God has not called me to be a politician. He's called me to preach the gospel and shepherd the church under which He has given me oversight. And I will do that. Okay? I will stand accountable to God for that. And I'm sure I will have plenty to be accountable for. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, the elders who are among you, Peter says, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. What is shepherding? It's caring for the flock. It's loving the flock. It's feeding the flock. It's protecting the flock. It's being a shepherd. Now the sheep, the shepherd does not run out to the sheep and say, "Sheep, is this pasture okay with you?" No. He shepherds the flock. He provides what the flock needs. And he stands answerable to the master. Be very cautious. It's going to get serious here. Be very cautious before you attack a pastor. Whether it's me, Michael, Kelly, Ken, any of our pastors on our church staff, whether it's another pastor of another church, be careful. Because that man is God's man. He's hand chosen, selected by God. All right? You say, "Brother Doug, that's egotistical." No, it's not. There are very few things in this life I'm sure of, but I'm sure of two things. God called me to preach, and He's placed me at Victory. The other thing is I'm sure I'm going to heaven through Jesus Christ. I'm saved, okay? Be very cautious before you attack a pastor. David said, "I would not touch God's anointed." David was a wise man. Having said that, now here's the point that I've got to address. Okay, we have a little issue that we've got to take care of, and we got to take care of it today. I want you to understand that I am very blessed and honored to be the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And Victory Baptist Church is the best church I've ever been a part of, bar none. Okay? We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 450 members. That's an approximate. And I want you to know I love all 450 members. And 449 of those members are a joy to pastor. But there's been a lady. It's been running from one member to the next member to the next member to the next member to the next member, stirring up discord among the membership. You very seldom hear this behavior called out, especially in the pulpit, but at this point it's God-led action. Okay? And you see, this person has spoken ill of ministries of this church in particular, this pastor, other staff members, and a lot of stuff. And this person has a past practice that she has destroyed or come close to destroying every church she's been a part of for the last 20 years. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 6:19. "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and finally, one who sows discord among the brethren." Victory Missionary Baptist Church agrees with the Word of God. It is not acceptable to run from member to member to attempt to stir up discord among the brethren. And that behavior will not be accepted, nor will it be tolerated. It stops right here. It stops right now. It stops today. Can I get an amen from the church?
Amen.
That's not welcome here. Victory is the most loving church you will ever see and be a part of. And every once in a while, There may be one fly that gets in the ointment, but what do? We address the fly in the ointment. That's what we're doing. Okay? It stops today. Members of Victory, you have a responsibility. If somebody comes to you and starts to run down your church, your ministries, the pastor of your church or staff members of your church, here's your responsibility. You look at them and you say, I love you, but get thee behind me, Satan. Okay? Can we all say this together? Because this is kind of a foreign thing for most people. We're going to say, get behind me, Satan. Ready? Get behind me, Satan. It's not welcome here. We love one another at Victory. So what do we do from here, preacher? It is a small thing. Okay? It is a small thing. And if some of you are wondering, is he talking to me? I'm probably not talking to you. But here's what we're going to do. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What I'm going to do is I'm going to love this lady. Not only am I going to love this lady, I'm going to love everybody in this church. Because I do. I don't. And we're going to lock arms and we're going to serve the Lord together and we're going to make disciples. Amen? I'm going to love you and you're going to love me. Okay? I'm going to say that again. I'm going to love you, and you're going to love me. And we're going to move into the future. If you cannot do that, I say this with a loving heart. If you cannot love the people, the pastor, the staff of this church, then you need to think, well, no, you don't need to think about it. Then you need to leave. And I know there are people at this point saying, Brother Doug, what can I do? Brother Doug, I had no idea. We're not going to do anything. We've addressed it this morning. It's done. Amen? Okay, if you hear it, you know what to do. What are you going to do? Get thee behind me, Satan, right? It's enough. That's it. It brings us to the next point. I believe with all my heart we are united as a body. Now we've got to be united with God. How do we do that? We unite in prayer. These men were on the precipice of changing the world. Can you imagine? And I know, listen, I know I was just very strong just a moment ago, so it's hard for you to hear what I'm saying now, okay? But I need you to reset, and I need you to follow me, okay? Can you reset? All right? We love one another, amen? Now, what do? We've got to unite with God through prayer. These men were on the precipice of changing the world. Jesus told them, you're going to be witnesses to me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. What a job. Man, you know, if somebody told me that, Brother Doug, you're going to change the world. I would say, what glory, hallelujah. Then it would hit, whoa, wait a minute. I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have what it takes. These guys knew that. Okay? That's the other reason they had to wait. They knew, or they're coming to the realization, that they do not have the ability to do the job of which God has called them to until they receive power from God. I can just imagine their prayer. Lord, man, I'm not capable of doing this. I can't do what you've called me to do. We're willing. We want to do it. Father, we need your help. Pour out your Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, God pours out His Spirit. Right? And 3,000 souls are added to the church. 3,000 souls are added to the church. Victory is on the precipice of growing as we've never grown before. A pastor just knows. A pastor can see. A pastor can feel God's leading. We're on the edge. Okay? But the work of making disciples that we've been called to is beyond our ability. I, as a pastor, do not have that ability. Any of our staff does not have that ability. We, as a church, do not have within ourselves that ability. So how do we get that ability? We ask God for it. We pray. James 5:16 says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What's the other thing we've got to do before we move into the future? Pray, pray, pray. Pray for this church. Oh, she's a glorious church. Amen. Oh, it's a wonderful church. Amen. I love the people of this church. Amen. Okay? It is. But this church needs your prayers. Pray for your pastors. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Michael, Brother Kelly, Brother Dale, Brother Ken, all of our pastors. Pray for your committees. Pray for our worship leaders. Pray that God will empower us to do what He's called us to do. I want to give you a prayer challenge. Are you ready for a challenge? Oh, come on. Sound a little more energetic. Are you ready for a challenge? Listen, we will not move forward without prayer. Okay, I'm going to ask you this morning, today, not during the worship service necessarily, but today, to find you a prayer partner for the month. Pick you a prayer partner for the month and meet with that prayer partner once a week. Okay? And in that prayer time together, pray for your church. Listen to me, and please don't get me wrong. That prayer time is not reserved for every sick person that you know in the world. I know we pray for sick people. And sometimes we get in the habit that that's all we pray for. Right? Yep, they need to be prayed for. But this prayer is for your church. Praying for your ministries of this church. Praying for our college students. Praying for our senior saints. Have y'all seen the senior saints group? Ken's doing a good job. That group is growing. Man, I say Ken's doing a good job. I say that with your understanding. It's God's working through him, right? But there's a lot of things going on. Last Wednesday night at the college ministry, we had a high attendance of, 50 college students over there. Awesome. Pray for them. Pray for me. Pray that I'll have the wisdom to lead the church. Pray for Brother Michael. Brother Michael does a lot of counseling to a lot of people. Pray for him to have the wisdom to counsel so that he promotes discipleship. And listen, pick your prayer partner. Pray for your church and be specific. Call us by name. Don't pray those meaningless prayers, Lord, bless us, bless them. Amen, let's go eat. Right? No. Call people by name. Call the ministries by name. Folks, I want you to understand. Oh, I do. I'm not mad. I did not say that earlier because I'm not mad. I'm not. I'm more excited today about victory than I have ever been. Right? I am. And I invite you to be excited also. God's good. He's moving. And He's going to use those who will allow themselves to be used. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for this church. What a loving church. What a strong church. What a good church. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunities. For the opportunities to address these things. Help us to address them in love, desire for the church. And I pray, Lord, that this message will be received in a manner of love which it was given. Father, empower us to make disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.